Let me start off by saying, welcome to the church that Christ built. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want you to know that you are indeed our honored guests. And like I said in the Bible class, we are giddy like schoolgirls that you have decided to come and worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ. And as always, I like to say to you, if you can just stick around just for a little while so that we can get to know a little bit more about you and you can get to know a little bit more about us. I want you to know that I'm glad that you're here. You're at the right place at the right time, listening to the word of God, which is the right thing. I love my church. I do. I love everybody here. And I'm so thankful that I'm able to stand before you in my right mind to present the word of God. If you have your Bibles with you this morning or electronic devices, I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And as you do that, I want to share something with you this morning. I heard about this lady, and she died, and she found herself at the pearly gates, and there an angel stood there, and he said, well, you can't come in, right, until you can correctly spell a word. And she says, a word. So yeah, just pick any word. And she said, love. And she spelled it L-O-V-E. And then the angel said, well, welcome to heaven. And then he said, well, can you take my place for a little while? I have some things that I need to do. So he instructed her on the procedure. Just know that if anybody comes, just have them spell a word. And a few minutes later, she sees her ex-husband. She says, what are you doing here? He says, I just had a heart attack. She says, well, did I really make it to heaven? She says, not yet. You have to spell a word correctly. He says, what word? She took a deep breath and a long pause, and she said, Czechoslovakia. Okay. I read a story about a man named Philip Leonetti, or should I say that used to be his name. He has lived for the past 25 years under a different name since he was defected from the mob in 1989. He was the highest ranking member of the La Cosa Nostra to break the sacred vow of the Omerta, which was the mob's code of silence. Since doing so, he is now a marked man for the rest of his life. Now, Leonetti knew that once he broke that code of silence, once he said some things that he shouldn't have said, forever his life would be changed. Now, perhaps Leonetti decided to break the code of silence because he probably wanted to change his life and become an upstanding citizen. Maybe he was looking at the fact that at some point in time that the crimes that he's committed and the lifestyle that he was living would catch up to him, or maybe his family would be in danger. We really don't know why Philip changed. But one thing is this. He will always be a marked man for the rest of his life. The title of my lesson this morning, and it's a question. And that question is, okay. Are you a marked Christian? Are you a marked Christian? See, Leonetti broke the code of silence. He decided to make a change. He decided to go in a new direction. He decided to do something that was worth doing. And there may be many people that are looking for Philip. There may be many people that are trying to harm him. He may be having to look over his shoulder at every turner, at every corner, at every time he opens up a door. I want to ask you a question. Is there anyone here that is being looked after? Is anyone here being sought after because you've decided to live your life for Christ? I told you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I want to begin reading at verse 17. We'll be reading 17 through 21. And the infallible word of God says this: Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Now, I personally like the King James Version because it reads like this: Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul says to mark them. Paul says put a target on them because they are examples of men and women who are following the living example of Christ. He goes on to say in verse 18, For many of whom I have often told you, and I now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of the Christ, of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. Now, as we examine these scriptures, we find Paul discussing two different ways to walk in this life. The first one is to walk as citizens of heaven. The second one is to walk in the way or in the manner in which you are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, hopefully there is not a question for Christians who have given their lives to God as to which way they are walking. But to better understand why, let's take a closer look why Paul gives us some reasons to walk as citizens of heaven. Let's first look at verse 17 again. It says, Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have an example of us. Paul frequently encouraged others to join in following his example. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, the infallible word of God says this: What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, Paul says, I urge you to be imitators of me. Why? Because I am imitating Christ. If we are to imitate Paul, we are to imitate Paul not because Paul is doing some things that he wants to do or lives his life the way that he wants to live it. We are to imitate Paul because Paul is imitating Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Who has marked you? Who has marked you? Is there someone who is trying to imitate you? Is there someone trying to live their lives according to the word of God and the will of God because of the way you live your life? And that's a good question. Because if your life cannot be imitated because you're imitating Christ, then there are some changes that must be made. So the question I have, are you a marked woman or man because you're following Christ? Now, see, it's easy to come to a service like this and to show up and, you know, to go through our checklist. But do you have the devotion that's required? You know, we come in and we sing our songs and we pray and we take communion and then we hear the preacher preach and then we go out into the world. But do they see a difference between you and them? Can they look at you and say, that's a Christian, he's a Christian, she's a Christian, they are Christian, these young people are Christians? Can they say that? And if they can, it's because you are marked, because you're imitating Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, Paul says something very important to the Philippians. He says, but whatever gain I had, I counted it as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Let me tell you something. Nothing mattered more to Paul than being devoted to our Lord. Nothing more mattered. Paul wanted fellow Christians to be imitators of him because he was imitating Christ. It had less to do with looking like Paul and looking more like Christ. I don't want people to look like me because I am who I am. I want people to look like me because I look like Christ. Based on my spiritual walk, based on my talk, based on how I deal with things, based on how I respond, based on how I run my household, based on my marriage, based on my communication with my children. And all that I do, my devotion is shown because I am imitating Christ. And because of it, people want to imitate me. But the problem with a lot of us is we want to be marked or imitated. But we want to be marked and imitated for the wrong reasons. What do you think about that? Do you want people to imitate you and look like you and do what you do because you're doing what Christ does? Or you want them to look like you and imitate you because of what you do and you can get the glory and you can say, I had a hand in that. Yeah, that's my boy. He played ball like daddy did. You know, back in the day, daddy could shoot that jumper so my son can. Or my daughter is very intelligent. She's smart just like her mother. And she has all the degrees and accolades as mom. Because a lot of times we have material possessions and we think that's what it's based on. We think it's based on what we look like. We think it's based on where we live. We think it's based on what kind of car we drive. We think it's based on where our kids go to school. We think it's based on our political affiliations. But believe me when I tell you that none of these reasons will get you into heaven, then I'm telling you that you need to stop. Paul is saying, he's not saying imitate my gifts. He's not saying imitate my calling, my privileges, my achievements. He's not saying to imitate how I do things based on my virtues. But he says, I want you to imitate Christ based on his humility, his unselfishness to serve, his willingness to suffer, his devotion, his courage, and his effort to grow in every single way possible. That is what he wants us to imitate. Now, we should be marked or imitated because we live for Christ. It's simple. We should have a target on our backs, and people should know when we walk in a room that we belong to Christ. We have to make every effort to make sure that we are representing ourselves as such. Christ-like. Every characteristic that Christ had in him, we ought to try to get done in our lives. We ought to try to get it in our minds, get it in our hearts, and practice it every single day of our lives. Now note, mark those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Now I want you to understand, you can't be marking just any old body. You can't just follow any old body. You need to be following those who are following Christ. Just as there were some in Thessalonica, right, who were imitating Paul. Those that were in Philippi, they were imitating Paul. It was worthy based on the example that he was setting to be emulated. Have you ever noticed this? I want you to think about it. Have you ever noticed that when you don't strictly follow the pattern or directions of an item or a booklet, you don't get the same results? Think about it. You know Christmas is coming up, and there are some toys that are going to need to be put together. And there are some instructions that come along with that. I'm guilty of it. I say, I don't need these instructions. I'm just going to look at the picture and put it together. And as you do that and you put it together, You try to figure out why when your daughter's son tries to go down the slide, it's wobbly. You try to figure out that when he's riding on the training wheels, the training is it's like he's doing this going down the street because it's uneven. You're trying to figure out why the little toy doesn't work in the manner in which it should. But the reason why is because you didn't follow the instructions that were given to you and based on the pattern. You negate it from the pattern. And I understand why it's like that, because it seems like instructions have gone to, you know, the one page to like novels. And that's probably why we throw the instructions out, because we don't feel like reading a whole novel to put a three-piece of toy together. But it's important that we read the instructions. I always seem to have that one screw that's just left missing. After I put everything together, I'm like, well, what, where's this screw? Why is this screw left out? And you just kind of scoot it up under there and say, well, nobody will notice. Until it falls apart. Or till someone gets hurt. It's very important for us to do this. It's the same way the New Testament pattern for the church was implemented. If you don't follow what God has ordained, what God has instructed us to do, he's told us to stick to the pattern, you won't get the same results of the New Testament church today. If you want the results, you have to follow the pattern. Have you ever tried to bake a cake and skip a step or two? It won't turn out right. Most of the cakes I get, they fall right down in the middle. I remember growing up, my grandma used to say, don't jump around and hop around in the house. My cake gonna fall in. But you have to follow the instructions to the pattern. That's why we see so many denominations today. Case in point, the smallest denominational church is about 7,000. And the largest is about 43,000. Can you imagine that many people not sticking to the pattern? And you wonder why God says that the way, the gate is wide that leads to destruction. That's 43,000 people right there following the wrong pattern. Because they're too busy imitating man instead of imitating Christ. Now, when we don't follow God's patterns, we find ourselves in the belly of the whale like Jonah. God has given us a pattern to follow, and we must do exactly what he tells us to do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, the infallible word of God says this: and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only as the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so there is no need to say anything. See, when you are more Christian and people want to imitate you, they imitate what you do, not what you say. They imitate how you live. They imitate how you respond to your husband and wife. They imitate how you deal with your children. They imitate how devoted you are to God and your service to him. Where are you going? Well, I'm headed to church. Where are you going? The gospel meeting. Where are you going? The Bible study. Where are you going to spread the gospel? Where are you going to jail study? Where are you going? I'm going to pray with some people. What are you doing? All I'm doing and all my mind is stayed on is the infallible word of God and how I can grow and how I can reach others. If your mind is stayed on that, that's what you become. That's what you encompass, and it will sound forth, and you don't have to say anything. Has your faith gone forth everywhere? That's a question you got to ask yourself. Has my faith gone forth everywhere? Well, I ask you a different question. Does anyone even know you're a Christian? Do the people at work know that you're a Christian? Do the people in your neighborhood know that you are a Christian? When you go to the local grocery store, do they know that you are a Christian based on what you purchase? Do they know who you are when you go to the doctors and what you talk about and what your conversation is about? Do they know that you are a follower of Christ? And the even bigger question is this: have you broken your code of silence? Are you willing to open up your mouth and stand for the truth and let people know exactly who you serve and who you are being an imitator of? Do they know that? Or are you hiding in Satan's witness protection program, where you get to sit back and you get to just do what you do? You hide under another name, another alias, being afraid to stand for the truth, being afraid to let your light shine. You're hiding it under a basket. Or are you the person who is willing to stand up for Jesus? Let us look at some reasons to walk like Paul and other believers do. The first one is, for your citizenship is not here, it's in heaven. How many of you have your spiritual green cards this morning? I hope you do. I hope that you do, so that when it is time, you can present it that I am a citizen of heaven. We must realize that our true loyalty is above and not on earth. We should be doing everything in our power to get to heaven, to get our citizenship, to get that stamp of approval from God that we deserve to be in heaven. And then we must understand that heaven is where our inheritance is reserved. That's where it is. That's where it all lays, right there. If you want to talk about a retirement plan, you need to be retiring for heaven. You need to be worrying about when you can kick your feet up and be there and praise God and sing praises to him over and over again. We used to sing a song at the church that I used to go to growing up as a little boy. It used to say, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares have passed. Home at last. Ever to rejoice. We ought to have that in our minds, that that is the place that we want to be. Our citizenship is not here on earth. It's in heaven. And we eagerly wait for the Savior, because he's going to do something. He will transform our lowly bodies. Philippians 3:21. And though now in heaven, our Savior is coming again one day. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, here's something that's encouraging. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and the cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. That ought to be encouraging, that that can happen and that will happen if you're found faithful and you're being imitators of Christ. Let me tell you something. When he does what he does, what glory will it be for those of us who are citizens of heaven? And somebody pulls you over right now. You know, when you go through the checklist and you're trying to, you know, get a job or get your license, you know, and they say, well, are you a citizen of the United States? You just check. Yep. You just, you know, yep. You know, you fill out the whole thing because you know for a fact. Oh, yeah, I got that check. Uh-huh. Check. I got that check. I got that check. And then you turn in your paperwork and you be like, all right, it's ready to go. When will we be like that when it comes to getting to heaven? My attitude is right. Check. My devotion to God is intact. Check. I honor my mother and my father. Check. I love my wife as Christ also loved the church, and I'm willing to lay down my life for it. Check. I love God with every fiber of my being, my heart, my mind, and my soul. Check. I'm an imitator of Christ. I exemplify the characteristics of Christ in every single way that I can. Check. And when I'm wrong, I'm willing to check myself and get it right with him and have a repentant heart and live for him. Check. And when he says, thy son or thy daughter, job well done, you may enter into the kingdom of heaven. What a glorious day that will be. He said he will transform our lowly bodies in Philippians chapter 3 and 21. He will be comforting us. There we get to sing praises unto him forever. Being in his presence forever. Being thankful and saying, we made it. I fought the good fight. I gave everything that I had. I gave you all that I had, Lord, and it was worth it. Now I can see you. I can look upon your face. I can be in heaven and glorify you. Are these not good reasons, like Paul, for us to become and be marked Christians? Is that not a good enough reason for you? That you get to go to heaven? That God is pleased the way you lived your life and others can be impacted by it because of the way you're living your life? God's kingdom can expand because of the way you're living your life? How many of us today want to be a marked Christian? I know that I do. I want it to be known. I want it to be understood. I want it to be without question that I am an imitator of Christ. Brethren and beloved, how we walk in this life, it should be as citizens of heaven and not as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, the answer depends on where your mind is set. Is it on earthly things? Because if it is, and if it's not stayed on God's word, if you're not being an imitator of Christ, you are an enemy of the cross of Christ. What ends up happening is, if you feel like your belly is your God, you need to make changes. If you glory in which those things that are shameful, you need to make some changes. If you are a person who relishes in the demise of other people, you need to make some changes. If you have a problem with lying, you need to make some changes. If you have some issues that you need to work on, patience, if your heart isn't right, whatever that may be, you need to make some changes, because the Bible says our end will be destruction. We have to be careful the way that we walk. But if your mind is on heavenly things, citizens of heaven, you eagerly await the Christ coming. You eagerly await our transformation. Excuse me. Now, there are many Christians, faithful Christians, who are excellent examples. There are people that we can look to, that we've seen growing up, that we can lean on and rest assured that they're living their lives and being imitators of Christ. If you find that person, I would like to suggest to you, young people, older people, our more seasoned people here in the church, attach yourselves to them, mark them, imitate them, follow their lead. And then I need for us to get to a place that we not only are looking to others to imitate, but others are looking to us to be imitators of what we do. Will you be a marked Christian for the Lord? Matter of fact, let me say it this way. You can get out of the Satan witness protection program and you can get into the Christian protection program. You want me to tell you how you can do it? It's very simple. It's by hearing, but that equals doing. That's by believing, but that also equals doing. That's by repenting, but that equals doing. It's by confessing, but that equals doing. It's by being baptized, but that equals doing. It's by living faithful unto the death, and that equals doing. So the question is this: what are you doing sitting there when you know there's something you have to do? And if you are here and you are a Christian and you haven't been faithful, you've been in and out, one foot in, you've been straddling the fence, it's time for you to make a decision and make your election sure. Whether that's prayers of the church, you make that need known. And in any way that we can, we will help you. And if your desire is to be a marked Christian and you're not a Christian, then you can do so today by putting Christ on in baptism. I'm not selling you anything. I'm giving this to you for free. And not only because I love you, it's because I understand the value of a soul. Do you want to be a marked Christian today? If you are a Christian, you've been hiding that light. Let's make our light shine. Let's put those targets on us so people can know that we live for Christ. If that is your desire today, please come now as together we stand and sing.